Session number 20587, Reel 5.
Tom O'Brien, Reel 5. Now, you worked your way up through Normandy, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember any other actions? You told me about one action.
Oh, in Normandy? Well, yes, when we... you know, Fally, Ebrecy was a bad, that was the place they bombed, where we had to drive over the ruins of that then to start. But there were so many little episodes combined to these places. Times you get, you know, rocket firing over you within a few hundred yards, you know. But once we entered the, what they call the Fally Gap, right, that was...
What was that like going through
there? That the mountainous woods and what again. Anyway, we go up the track, we follow a track, we do. And there was ruins everywhere, of course. Oh, so the animals, of course, the dead animals in Normandy was everywhere. And shells, empty shells, and some dead. So you lived with that sort of thing, but so much of it, like it, well, it's all been booked and what against, but you just lived amongst it. Mm. And smells and taste and the dust and things like that. But when we started to go up to the Normandy, up to this Valley Gap, there was wrecked everywhere because the typhoons and that had been, you know, dive bombing, that shelled rocket shells, and they was all trying to make their way out. The German army, wasn't it? As far as I know, they was, because the pincer movement was closing in, like say, and you had to literally drive over. You did drive over Germans, I'm afraid. So there's only one track. Well, bound to be other outlets, but the track we went up anyway, it's up through this woodland area. When I went back, I can't recognise it, like see. But
what impact did seeing that have on you?
No good, girl. No. Yeah. We wanted somebody to wash your tyres actually, but it went on for a long time before that happened. It is when you got to before that even. Bow Norman, no, that was just before the Valley Gap. That was a bad place. It was like a valley, see, and, you know, a small bridge at the bottom. A couple of tanks got knocked out right with the breakdown, and we had to get up to Bow Norman. And we're going up this track now, and the driver then of the breakdown was, we used to call him the sheriff. He was always like a cowboy, you know, he was a cop, he was. Anyway. And there was somebody tooting behind us going up this track. Well, already mines on the side, you can see that, and they had tapes. And somebody was tooting us all the way up, trying to get past. Anyway, eventually, we really got up the top to Bow Norman. I say up the top, and we kept to Bow Norman. That was still burning, and quite a lot of acne. It was the, what's his name there, Corps Commander of the 112. Horrocks, <Yeah. laughs> I think it was. Well, anyway. And can I say, we didn't give way because why should we get blown up? And we had open front on the vehicle, like, you know. And I tell you a tale about that driver, whatever. When we did eventually get to Farley, I think Chambray was the place where the German army, that's where the net closed, and that was the only outlet to the village of Chambray. And, I don't know. They got a monument there. I went there with the truth. And at that time, there was about casualties. I reckon they captured about 300,000, didn't they? So, you know, but some got through naturally, that the German army still got through.
Can you tell me about the sheriff?
Huh? The sheriff, yeah, I was going to tell you now, but this and now when we got, after we left, we must have been between there and a place called Evreux, that is coming into France now, like same old home. And we had tents, and in this field on the little river there, and somebody had a pet duck, and the sheriff one morning, the officer called me, he said, he was a big mate of corporal, he was. Corporal Marvel, that's his name. His wife and his child and his mother was killed. Mm. With a V2 or something, or a V1 in London. Mm. And we had them jobs are worse than there. Yeah. See what I mean? It's all right talking about you now, but when you're actually involved with it, you know, God, when you're hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all buried people, like we've even burnt the bodies and burnt the car, because let's see if they left a day or two. But when you lose your own mates, like, you know, that. But when something happens in the family, it's worse, it's harder.
Mm.
And you go home then and never see them again after that then.
Mm.
It's the sort of episodes that happen, like, you know, don't you? They, you know, you can't make them up. They're just the electric pack.
So the army sent him home, did they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what good it done him, of course, because he was such a character, you know. He was a real Cockney boy. His wife, baby daughter, and his mother. I never know what happened to Marvel after. He more likely, perhaps he went back into some other unit, like, see, you know.
Did you have much contact with home? Were you able to write letters?
Oh, no, well, like sometimes you only just send a card. I got a couple of, just a little card, I'm all right, and so on, so on, so on, so on. I thought I'd done that. I used to send a letter, actually, when you could write. When you feel letters, they're all censored in any case, weren't they? And when we had those little cards when we went first into Normandy, and that, just a little card, just cross out, are you wounded, or, you know, sick, or are you okay yourself? I got a copy of them, some of them, yeah.
Had you any idea when you were in the field what was going on in the rest of the war? Or
in the line, as they said it. Yes, well, we had our own newspaper, like, in a way. It was called the Welsh Dragon, 53rd. And you have, small items in that, like, bulletin. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot to do. My brother from Australia, he was in the Middle East, but he had gone back then to New Guinea. I thought he would have come home because he got a bump in the Middle East, but he finished up in New Guinea, he did. My other brother was in Burma, in the infantry, so...
What was health and sanitation like in the line?
We had a sanitary ward. I think they gave them the BM in there, because most units had a ward given them for something. And in ours, we voted it there because it's a marvellous job, hateful job, especially in Normandy, terrible. Because, as you know, all the sort of things that goes on, sometimes they're in good condition, other times they're really not. And it's all out in the open. Everywhere, the soil, and no wonder the fertilisation is good there, crops, good. You know. We're talking about a million men, aren't you, perhaps, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you manage for washing and shaving?
Oh, just, we managed to keep clean somehow. We were washed in a biscuit tin or something like that, just taped the top off and it's the same called chicken. And you ate it, like, you bought it all in the tent. No, well, you were brought up that way. You know, you never took your clothes off, see? And not all that period of time, you never took your clothes off. We didn't go in a billet or anything like that. We never, even when we went up a bit further.
Did you ever get a chance to have a shower or a swim?
No, there was a... They had mobile bars later on, like, you know, but they didn't. We went in a river in Normandy once, dead cold. I don't know if it was in it altogether, but we swam river. I'm the swimming at for the, the boys in the nude, of course. Yeah.
What was the weather like? I mean,
sometimes it was hot in that period of time, and we had our rain too. Oh, but the weather was to come later on when we got up a bit further.
What about lice and pests and things?
Huh?
Do you have any problems with
lice? Oh, yeah, well, I mean, what they call crabs in it and things like that. Mm. And, of course, we had, you know, before we went ever to the forces, we had that, especially during the Blitz and that. What the hell was it there? We were scratching all the time. Mm. Scabies.
Oh,
not only everything, we all had it, I think, in that time period of time. Of course, to the lack of something. And they do. Well, we all had it. It's no good beating about the bush. Damn family. I don't think there was any definition between who you were. You had it, like, you know. So, just a washing sulphur or something, and at that time. And we had our issue of soap every week, like, you know, and shaving, always shaved as much as you could. Mm-hmm. Shave without any glass, of course, so you could remember your face, like, you know, with some safety razor. I still got the safety razor now. They never moved.
Yeah. What about, I mean, people, were people generally healthy? I mean...
Oh, yeah, to be correct. I mean, the army was... I mean, the food was, you know... All units had their own cook, you see my meaning? And if you could make do with something, you'd do it, like, see? But normally, if you were lucky enough to have a good pack, as they call it, packs are different. Some packs are hopeless. Well, we thought they were hopeless. There was the McConaughey's, and I was in one, you know, tin stuff and all the rest of it, and sometimes you had plum pudding. But then if another pack, you might have a potent and Noah's. Well, compared, when it's like living in Harrods, I suppose, to British homestead or something like that, you know, it's in my meeting nowadays. Give it away if you had a chance. But the cooks, they done a marvellous job. They're in the field, like in the woods, in the water. Let mind where you were. They'd always, you know, trump something up. Mm. You had your own new house. Like living out in the, you see these cowboy things. And I often said to myself, well, we used to do that or do worse. Mm. Makes you think how we survived. Like, not only me, all of us. Mm.
So did people catch rats? Huh? Did people catch things for the cook to cook?
I mean, later on, the people, when you're talking about the winter and that, you talk about trench feet and all the rest of it, see, and frostbite, really, all the, when you don't take your clothes off for 5 weeks or 6 weeks without soaking wet and that, what was lacking in our army was the fact that we had the same clothes winter and summer, apart from changing your vest and pants. That's the only change you had. I mean, the Germans, compared to us at one time, were well equipped. They had these camouflage jackets, lined, you know, could turn them white and turn them green. Well, it'll come to that part later on. Jack boots there.
How did you manage with waste disposal, lavatories and things?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's all out in the open, wasn't it? Yeah. And that was the man, that's the important man in the unit. It was the... He was in charge of the latrines, the landscape was bloody good. Yeah. Marvellous job. I think one of the most important, well, very important. Yeah. I mean, because as I say, you can imagine, you're human after all you're doing. I mean, it's not good pretending. Mm. It's because it was, and there were times, as I say, everybody had what you can call it, the runs, if you like, and another time then, and we all had a touch of that, doesn't it? Because he was on the same sort of bloody food. He wasn't having to change a diet or anything like that. And what flies galore, I mean, mosquitoes you had. Mm. But they died by me when the...
Had you been issued with mosquito repellent or anything?
We didn't have nothing like that. Just saying, we never had aspirin, really. I never did, but it was very bad. I wasn't used to taking anything like that. None of us were, it's not only me there. We were a different, I suppose, in a way, we were brought up in a through a period which is much harder than, we were all used to. If it hadn't been that type, I don't know what it would have been like today, mind, if it had a war. You've got such, I think the sergeants and that, when you were called up and doing initial training, as you call it, they had a far easier job than they'd have today, like she was, I mean. Because most of us were, we were ordinary working people if we had a job, but they were used to, used to doing well. Didn't find it hard anyway to follow orders, you see my meaning.
In the line, what standard of appearance and kit was expected? I mean, did they inspect you at all, or...?
Oh, yes, we had radio regular. You could have a spot check any time. It's the same with all your vehicles anywhere. They were always inspected. Everything went on as if they were in at their home base, if you can tell me. Inspections went on. We covered all the inspections of the vehicles right through the war. Mm. And mind where they were, be on a certain date, we'd get in touch with them. And they'd break down, you'd be robbing and stealing. To build up, like, you know.
You were looking after ambulances.
Yes, that's mine. That's our main
job. What did you see of the casualties? You must have.
Oh, God, I've seen it all. I mean, more they wanted to see. No, well, it was all parties closely connected when he was in amongst it. Mm. When you say, especially Normandy, it's so confined. there was nobody out of the war, you can see my meaning. Mm. Even if it weren't in there, I mean, you could be killed with the shells flying everywhere, of course. Yeah. I mean, you could even come from your own stuff ripping over there. But mostly, whatever zone he was in, unless he was back or whatever, but if he was with a brigade or a div that is in action, he was within miles, 2 miles, whatever it is. Well, they were all under mortar fire. I mean, it was the same. We could be under machine gun fire, just the same. But it's just, you know, you can't, you've got a job to describe it all, like, see, but you can't describe the things you've seen, because I don't think it's right that it should, really, because I've heard people, and we've buried them. I've heard my mate, you know, that, but after we passed out of this zone, like, you know, but bloody big hole in them, and what are you going to do? Bits of, well, it's the same as dead animals, and bloated and blown up. Terrible.
You must have got to know the ambulance crew quite well.
Yeah,
can you tell me about some of those that you remember?
The photo here of Cork. Now, you wouldn't establish him now as being anything but a mild little chap.
Yeah.
What was his name? The MM, that one. That's one of our ambulances.
Oh, right.
That's
yes.
Taken after.
And who
is
this? This was... Dr. Cross, is it?
Cross, Driver Cross, see?
Oh, Driver Cross. He
became one of the MMs. Two MMs, and there's plenty of... they're all heroes, because they lived with the infantry. We all did, and we were in touch with them all the time, like, see? Mm.
So tell me about him, what you knew.
Driver Cross, well, all I knew about him, I used to do it, but very mild little chap, he had glasses, quiet as a mouse, but he knows the steel.
Where did he come from?
Up the north somewhere.
Uh-huh. Do you know his first name?
Huh?
Do you know his first name?
No, Driver Cross, Crossy, we called it, that's right. We all did it. Who didn't know people second name, tell the truth a lot. You know, like people say, who's O'Brien? And you know, we're Taffy, right? Or Crossy, or Blackie. All had your name, the Cossy, he wouldn't have
So his ambulance was hit 10 times
during
the war. Gosh.
And it replaced it. The incident when he won the MO was a bit later on. I'll tell you about that in Germany. That is later on. That's
okay.
Forward
tell
a bit.
That later. We'll
yeah,
that
because.
Remind us.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't take that. Somebody gave it to me. All these photos were given to me.
Right.
A lady sent me some of these that her husband was. They were in the magazine, a lot of them.
Right.
That they were actually. He was something to do with the div for photography, you know. And when he died. She sent me those because she'd seen something in the paper that I was in the 53rd, and I gave them quite a lot away, tell the truth, to different people that they concerns, like, see?
Yes. Yeah. So, tell me about so you were working your way up into France then.
First name place was Evreux. Mm-hmm. That's the largest town down the road, that's what we call a town, like, see?
Right.
We was there for a while, not too long. I think that was just before we made the crossing of the Seine. The Seine in it, Paris. We'd crossed the Somme.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Somme was to us, like, you know, the name. Of course, once you crossed the Somme, Vignacourt we crossed it, Vignacourt. Mm-hmm. When we went into this main street of the fire, they were cutting hair off these girls, you know, and
who was cutting it off?
Oh, the locals, weren't they? You know, the so-called heroes. And anyway, they all had their knives and stuff. It was supposed to be the Free French, you know. But some were good and some were... But I had my photo taken with a bunch of them there, like all bandits, you know. But the next minute, somebody had reported Germans, so they all off. But right what struck me, when we stopped there was a bit of a schoolroom. I would have loved to go back to bed. I might have seen that photo. But was the First World War, and we went in there, right in at
the... What, the graveyard?
Military cemetery. Yeah. Immaculate it was then.
And you all went in and had a look, did you?
Oh, naturally, yeah. Mm. First time we did the First World War ground, wasn't it? The Somme was a well-known name, wasn't it? Like, that was one episode there, like, see? Big
what did you
Big
say?
Big Nicota, I remember the place, Big Nicota, that's one right then.
What did you say to yourself, to each other, going to see that cemetery? I mean, it was not many years later, and you were all back there again.
It's something new, revered, didn't you? Like, see, when you went, go back to Normandy now, it goes to the Americans and Marble, have you been?
Mm.
You know, say, well, you've seen it, and it goes right down the beach, Mars, Little America. You know, all these, but we've been to all the, have you been to La Camp, the German cemetery? No, like, we've been there, and if you think me, well, but by the workers. You know, but we always pay respect. We always go there everywhere. Canadians, both Americans. And Bear, of course, because that's our main British. Did he go to Bear Cemetery?
Yes, I've been
And
there.
He went to Ranville?
No,
the Pegasus, that was mostly airborne and that,
yeah, right.
And,
so where were you?
I got photos of them, please. Mm.
Where were you when Arnhem? When the Arnhem
well, I tell you, we are coming to that now. We've got to go to Belgium first. We got through that euphoria of Belgium. I mean, first of all, when we crossed the Seine, we didn't go towards Paris. Right? I mean, American. We went towards Abbeville in those. That's the bomb sites, you know, the V1s, the V, you know, the doodle bugs, as they call them.
So what
we went to clear that area. Well, we've seen the sites and all the bloody rest of it. And. What a girl. I'm not supposed to swear if I get there, if it comes out. I don't mean it. Then we got into Belgium. Mm-hmm. Of course, now this is what they call liberation. We're the army liberation now, right? We've come through all this. There's quite a lot happened in between, but I forget about it. And we were in this mad dash now that we got to a place, Nola Mines. It's a mining town. I guess it is. About. On the border somewhere from France to
Belgium
and France. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you got in, I was all tired out. We'd been on the road for hours and hours and hours, mind you know, day and night. And most of the time, I was nodding because there was nobody walking at that time. They were all in something. And you were either in the tank lot, they wanted to play football matches and that when you got to this. Placed in all the mines with people who's half asleep. Never mind football.
Who is that? The Belgian people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's Belgium or France or Belgium's on the borders. Like, see.
Oh right.
That night it couldn't have been far from the mining gate. So because I got left behind in all the mines, there was two things knocked out, and now they've got all a bit of a garage. There's three of us left, and then we've done up, and we were going to catch in now on. Move in with the column in the morning, mm-hmm. if it's ready. And we got left behind. And got a drop said, but we worked all night anyway. And now the next morning they got in, our dip had gone anyway. So I got trapped now in a tank. Of course, they were heading for Brussels. Bowerlot was going to Antwerp.
So you were in a tank?
No, I was in my own vehicle. Somebody was driving one of the ambulances that had been hit, and the other one was the staff car, Amber.
Right.
But I was we were diving in and out these tanks. Of course, we finished it up in the palace yard in Brussels. There's fires going on and it's dark, isn't it? The guards armoured it. Well, of course, suddenly found out we turned in the palace. I didn't know it was the palace. Somebody shouted, "We're in the palace." Anyway, that is my episode of the liberation of Brussels. But we weren't supposed to be there. We were supposed to be down the road to it. Not far, it's like Antwerp. But when you say not far, like it isn't far on the map.
Yeah.
And Don R picked us up then, and he took us to, just outside Mortsel to a place called Mortsel. And this was the time when everybody was throwing stuff at you, and they didn't have much, but fruit and stuff, and girls and all, and they're all dressed up and waving. 2 days of, it was something like out of this world, you see it in the papers.
What were they saying to you?
What?
What were they wanting to say to you? The Belgians?
Oh, well, they would give you anything when you read it. They were talking about the jumping all. And after all, you get the places now that really wanted to be liberated, didn't you? Like, see, Belgium and, at that time it was like if it was in a bloody carnival procession, you know, because they were wonderful.
Were you surprised?
Were you surprised? Oh, yes, well, yes.
It
we went to Tipperary, you know, What's the name? It's a long way to Tipperary. What's the name of that? Lametiers. Lametiers is only a road that they have a place. Maybe 22 through there. But everybody started to come out at that time. You see what I mean? It's liberation now. The flags. It's a wonderful time at that to be there, like, you know. No doubt about that. But for a couple of days. It's only a day or two. When I got to my unit, that we were in a bit of a field in Mortsel. The place is only just a mile or so from the city there, Antwerp, like, you know, the port. Because there was something going on all the time. We were still clearing up and all the rest of it. I got into this. I slept for about 36, I suppose, 36 hours. Must be some other guy. And I got in. I was ready to drop, more or less, when I got. Of course, they'd had a night out the most of our workshop because they'd been in this village and it was a celebration and all that. So I didn't have none of that because I was stuck behind left worker. And that's just the luck of the draw that it had a big deal.
Do you know what date you went into Brussels?
Well, it must have been about December the 1st, 2nd, 3rd. I'm not sure. We got to I had a paper given me. The second edition of the paper in Antwerp. I think the date I can my son in or get a thing.
It was the day it was liberated.
Oh yes. All these episodes strike you like, you know, we were in this little field now. Now the next night now I was still going to be left behind because there's some repairs to carry out. There's something going on because everything was working. And they were going down. I didn't know really where they were going, but they were going down to a place called Bog Leopold. Well, anyway, I was left in this field. And a couple of women and that came up and telling us, you know, beware of the Black Belgians, as they called them, see, because they were the, I suppose they called them the traitors. Because they had some locked up in cages in the zoo in Antwerp, so we were told and all the rest of it. We never saw them at the time. But they wanted us to sleep in their houses, like, you know, because we used to sleep in the field. We weren't allowed to. I was sleeping in the back of an ambulance. I was. And
so did you see any Black Belgians, or were they all running away?
We'll never know what they were. We can't tell it. The locals, I think, knew them, like, you know, they're... They tried to protect you as well. They can, and I took. They went. They come in the morning and with some grapes and stuff. And they went to. And I went into one of the houses there, and I was all standing. And give me a bath. Oh God, no big deal.
You went and had a bath.
Well, they give us a bath. They made sure you bloody had a bath. No big.
So the Belgians...
There's a war, the war's on, wasn't it? I mean, that's to tell people about these things. They think, well, they said it had nothing to do with it. It was war, they were involved in the war. As incidents happened after that, I tell you about. When we got further up, when you got to remember, because you got to remember more places, see? Mm-hmm. Anyway, when we went down to Bog Leopold, little Corky Cowan used to drive there. The water wagon, I would think, oh, that's a bloody soft drop. But you're not a soft drop because he's with his crowd and they were at the hammer point and that. And he got killed with the mortar pile. They were shouting, he's only short little fella, he had four kids. And Corky, and we buried him in a little church just outside somewhere. It's outside Sotongan. It's all black, you know, it's a deadly old end. Because that's Sotongan Bush is there. Bog Leopold is where we started to build up for going into Holland, see? And for them, and before that.
We'll make that the end of Reel 5. Yeah.